Good morning. Am I on? I'm on. Tell you, they got a phone booth out back. I changed from my drumming outfit. Yeah, so. Well, good morning, guys. I am Jared Bortz. Many of you know me as the drummer, some as the guy who wears neon green, and the others know me as Susie's husband, which I am very proud to be. So, it has been such... Oh, man, I just don't know. It has been such a blessing to have been able to pray, to prepare, and to now get to bring to you the Word of God. So, this morning, if you would, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. As they pass out the Bibles, just lift your hand up if you need one. They'd love to give you one. So, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It starts, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful, Father, that you have brought us to this portion of scripture this morning, Lord. By your spirit, open our eyes and our ears, Father, so that we can know you, Father. Reveal yourself to us, Father, the love that you share through your Son and the hope that we can place in him. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Hebrews is a book written somewhere between 67 and 69 AD. Though we know who the human, or we don't know who the human author was, we know who the divine author, the Holy Spirit, the God-breathed word. Hebrews was addressed to a small community outside of Jerusalem where there was a battle raging for the souls of those who had heard the word of Jesus and witnessed his miracles. Many were convinced in their heads of the truth, but there were still those who had not put their hope and faith in him. I want to share a story that Rob Brown, is Rob here this morning? There's my brother. Rob Brown shared with me about six months ago. On his way to serve in the Sudan, he stopped an elder at Kenya. That evening, staying there, he reached in to the nightstand and pulled out the Gideon Bible. Inside of it was a note written, "If only there were hope for me." When I heard this, my heart broke. I knew exactly how this person felt. How many times had I the Word of God in my hands and put it down without any more hope than I had when I picked it up? While many of us come here this week and worship and hear the word and pray, some of us, just as the Jews of that time and this individual in Kenya, we leave without hope in Jesus. A hope that surpasses all understanding. A hope in him for eternal life. Let us look at Hebrews 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. The Bible is the documented Holy Spirit-inspired word of God to the fathers. From Genesis to Malachi, he had spoke to the fathers of one thing, God's love, the hope of a Savior to come. If you are here today and you can relate in any way to this story, God wants you and I to find a hope, a place to put it in. Verse 2, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Here enters hope. God spoke through the prophets to the fathers about Jesus. Prophecy after prophecy of hope of a Redeemer. Isaiah 43:11. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other Savior. This one who had conquered the enemy and have paved the way for his chosen people to be in communion with him. Chosen people, you may ask, as I once did, am I included in this? Let us read a little further in Isaiah 49. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. God, in his infinite sovereign love, sent his Son as a promise to all mankind, all of us. I want to look at these promises of a Savior and three reasons why we find in this text of Hebrews to put our hope in him. First, we hope in Jesus for who he is. Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 3:17, and suddenly a voice came down from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, the Son of God, is being revealed as the one whom he, the Father, has appointed heir of all things. Jesus is the firstborn and the rightful heir to everything. I used to work at a private airport in Vail, Colorado. I dealt daily with people who put more money and fuel in their aircraft than I made in 3 years. Many of these folks were the firstborn heirs to massive corporations, the firstborn of inventions that brought more money than I can imagine. We have an even greater fortune to lay claim to put our hope in. Jesus is the one with a cattle on a thousand hills. He offers the promise of eternal life. The stuff of this world, that fuel that I used to put in, the money they paid for, it's stuff. It's that which rust and moths eat up and destroy. Now, what is this that we are heir to with Jesus? Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, and Galatians 4:7 promises, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Before we put our hope in Jesus, we were slaves to this world. We put our hope in Jesus, we were adopted into a huge family. The family of God. And as sons and daughters, we are now co-heirs of God through Christ. Another illustration of this adoptive love we can find in Romans 11, verse 17. You, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, the Jewish children, the chosen people, and with them became partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. We are grafted into that which we were not. And the promise is that we can partake in the fatness of the olive tree. We repent, we confess Jesus as our Lord, and put our trust in him. We instantly become an inheritor of the kingdom of God, or kleronomos, a sharer or an inheritor by lot. Now, I know we don't always share very well. I've got a six-year-old who, when her friends come over, it's a fight. And I myself am still waiting for that 810 starboard carbon from High Tech. Wait, that's not a sharing scenario, but y'all get what I want for Christmas. Hope in Jesus. An inheritor or heirs to the kingdom of God. Nothing compares. Nah, toys, my wannabe SUP board, nothing compares. If you are here this morning with no one to call family, I want to give you the chance to be adopted to the greatest family ever. With more children than the stars, you will never be alone with Jesus. As your co-heir and God as your father, we have put the hope in Jesus for who he is. to further support our hope in Jesus for who he is, let us look at the second half of verse 2. Through whom he, notice the capital H there, God, created all the worlds. Scripture is telling us that God the Father appointed Jesus as the heir to everything. And through Jesus, God created you and me and all that surrounds us. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, the firstborn, created us and the world we live in. And then he expressed in John 17:24, I love this. This is probably one of my favorite portions. Father, Jesus is speaking, I desire that they know that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you gave me, before the foundation of the world, we are a gift from the Father to the Son. Guys, we have been made heirs. We were grafted into the natural from the unnatural. And now we are a gift-wrapped present from the Father to the Son. Church, we shouldn't let another moment go by without having the assurance of hope in Jesus for who he is, the sacrifice for which we were bought with, the recipient of all of us who confess him before man. To expand even further on the foundation of hope, look with me at the first part of verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. No one had seen the Father. Jesus is being declared as the brightness of his, the Father's glory, and the express image of his person. Jesus wants us to see him, hope, in all of his glory. So coming to the earth and walking with us, express in a visual, tangible way, the image of God. Jesus is the mediator of light to us from the Father. John 18:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One more passage, 1 John 1:7. This verse brings all the promises together. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have the fellowship with one another. All of us, we fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Apart from denying Jesus as Lord and believing upon him to save us, there is no sin too great. I don't know about you guys, but that is a good promise. There is no sin too great. We are covered, and every wrong done is cast as far as the east is from the west. Amen. This verse brings us into the second point, the second thing we can put our hope in Jesus for. We hope in Jesus for what he has done. To do this, we are going to skip in the text from where we are to the last half of verse 3. When he had by himself purged our sins. Jesus had been in ministry for 3 years. The whole time being 100% God and 100% man. And now we find him at the Garden of Gethsemane praying. He asks the Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He determined to continue on, creating a place of hope that many believers are standing in, giving up their lives for. Susie and I, my wife, we placed our hope in Jesus early on. Prior to coming to Maui 2.5 years ago in Colorado, we had it easy. And when I say easy, I don't know how many of you guys can relate to this, but we both had incredible jobs, We had no rent, no mortgage, and free family daycare. We had it good. When we got to this island, within a month, we found ourselves jobless. And the place we were living in was not safe. My wife stayed home full time with our daughter. She homeschools her. And we had no other option but to put our hope in Jesus. Every evening as we put Elizabeth asleep amongst the chaos, we prayed, we cried. We hoped for what Jesus had done for so many that had gone before us, living day in and day out in the same scenario, in need. He has been faithful to provide. He didn't stop there. We were being drawn into deeper water. He didn't want to just provide for our physical needs. He wanted our hope to be in him for our spiritual needs. Jesus has given us the greatest moment in history to put our hope in. On the cross, Jesus uttered the words that seal each one of us that confess him as our Savior. John 19:20. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The price was paid. We can now stand before God with hope. Jesus stands between you and I and the Father and claims each one of us as his, paid for in full. And to prove he was God, he rose from the dead on the third day, defeating the devil and taking back what was rightfully his. Upon his resurrection, we can read in 1 Corinthians 15:6, speaking of the death and the resurrection, he was seen by over 500 brethren. Jesus came, fulfilled the prophecies to the Father that we read about in the first verse, speaking to us of the love of the Father and declaring himself to be the way, the truth, and the light. Having by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. There was no other high priest prior to him that sat down. As you are sitting in your seat, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, freely offering the hope of salvation. Whether you need salvation from hell this morning, or help saving your marriage, or the salvation of your children, whether you or anyone, today, we can put our hope in him. We have hope in Jesus because he is the only one who can save us. Now we come to the active portion of every believer's life. We hope in Jesus for what he is doing. He is continually working on our behalf. Go back with me to the middle of verse 3 to see what Jesus is doing here. Jesus being the expressed image of God, as we've read, and upholding all things by the word of his power. How many of us understand what it means to speak and our requests be done? I struggle to tell myself what to do and follow through with it. My wife will attest to that. Matthew 17:20, I find encouragement and encourages us. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and nothing will be impossible for you. When I think of the idea of this type of faith, this type of upholding, I'm reminded of the story in Matthew 8. Jesus spoke of a centurion that had come to him for healing. Sorry, excuse me, guys. Syndrome this morning. When Jesus, hold on, let me get back there. The centurion comes to him for healing over one of his servants. Jesus immediately offers to go to the man's house. And the centurion responds, "I am not worthy. But if you speak the words, it will be done." Matthew 8:10, when Jesus heard it, this blows me away. He marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. To speak with the authority that stretches from town to town, from either side of the universe down to the smallest particle matter. as we speak, guys, by the power of his words, he's upholding everything. I hope he continues to uphold me physically and spiritually, or we will have a real mess up here. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 gives us scriptural support of this upholding. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned. As scary as this sounds, we will be saved, as Noah was, as Lot was spared, him and his family. This word we find melt, or luo, to dissolve, or to loosen. On the day of the Lord, he will simply loosen his grip. Colossians states, and in him all things hold together. We ought to be a church that hopes in Jesus for everything, for he is upholding everything. We hope for his salvation and the peace that comes. Think with me. This really, as I thought about it, blessed me. If Jesus is holding us together when our hope is in him, and scripture also tells us that he loves everyone and desires that none should perish, this is huge. We love him because he first loved us. Our hope is in him because he first had hope for us. He desires with such a vehement love to have a relationship with us that before we ever knew his name, he died for us to make it possible for us to put our hope in him. Titus 3, 7, verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become, and here's a word that should be familiar to us, heirs, according to another familiar word, hope of eternal life. We are eternal beings. The Bible states that there are two viable options for our eternal bodies to end up in. If we never put our faith and hope in Jesus, then our eternal bodies go to a place of eternal separation. The Bible calls this destination hell. Romans 10, verse 9, find hope. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's simple, really. A confession with the lips, a public acknowledgement of your faith in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit then indwells the new believer. And Jesus the Son will confess your name before the Father. It's a whirlwind of a ride, but one that has the peace, joy, love, and hope of eternity. Final thoughts, guys. We hope in Jesus for three reasons, as we've seen. Who he is, what he has done, and what he is doing. He is the Son of the one true God. He has conquered death, defeating the enemy and paying the price for each one of us. And he, by his power, offers to us life everlasting and the freedom to share this with others. He is glorious, seated at the right hand of majesty on high, worthy of our worship. He has a name above all names, and he will never mishandle our hope. I know that's important to many of us. Remember the story of the individual in the beginning who asked if there were only hope for me? I pray today that we not be a church that holds within our hands the word of God and scribes those words inside of it. To be honest, when I heard this story Rob shared with me, I was cleaning out the back of my pickup truck after work one day. And I was there. I was in that place of hopelessness. Struggles, what have you. I found myself focused on the things of now, the things of this world, the stuff that is corroded and moths eat away. But through prayer, and this morning we're going to have the opportunity to come before him in prayer, and the power of his Holy Spirit, God brought my focus away from the now, put it back on God, back on his Son, reestablishing hope in him. If you have come here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we want to give you the opportunity today. And as the worship team comes up and we close in prayer, we'll pray for that. Let's go. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this time, Father. I am grateful for your word, Lord, the truth, Jesus, that sets everything else apart, Father, that we have a place we can put our hope in. Your love, Jesus. Thank you for dying for every one of us, Father. I pray, God, as we close in worship, Lord, by your Spirit you move. Lord, have your way with us this morning. We love you, Jesus. And it is in your mighty and powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen.